chapter 15, number 12, verse 12. 15, number 12. All right. A scoffer does not love one who reproves him. He will not go to the wise. You know, what's the clean part of this one? You expect someone who scoffs to love one who corrects them? That's just the nature of one of those people, isn't it? Okay.
He doesn't search for wisdom and he doesn't want anybody to give it.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? That's exactly right. Okay?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you want anybody to give it to him?
Convict him of his sin.
That's right.
Right. Right. So they already, right. Most of the time they think they already know what they need to know and they don't want anybody to tell them. They'll confuse them with the facts.
Yeah, yeah. This is not Father knows best. This is I know best. Okay? That's an old show. Old show. All right.
The Holy Spirit says in chapter 1 that he says, "This is my reproof." They don't want it. Mm-hmm. And if a person doesn't want something, I mean, you could try to spoon feed it, you could try to sugarcoat it, you could try to, you know, coffee clutch it, you can try to do anything. If they don't want to know truth or do right, they're not going to.
Yeah.
You can talk till your head falls off, you won't do a bit of good.
Exactly. They hate it. It says they hate knowledge. And that's a strong word. It's not that they just are naive. They hate knowledge. The ones that scoff.
And when I always try to do in this way, those situations, just do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, I understand what you're saying. Now, you choose. But do you, am I getting across to you? That's it.
You always hear the but. There is always a but at what you say.
And he's not going to go to the wise. If he went to the wise, then he would be seeking help. He would say that he's not the center of the universe. All that sort of thing. So, certainly consultation with the wise is not in the future, that scoffer. All right. 13. Oh, this is good. Let's get on a high note here. All right? A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Is that a comment on what we outwardly see, isn't it? Okay? A joyful heart, a merry heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. A demoralized sorrow is shown. So, to me, this is the idea here. Cheerful face and sadness and that kind of thing, sorrow, is something that's outwardly seen. Okay? Can our emotion be outwardly seen? This
Absolutely.
Is a proof of yes, it can. Okay?
They say the eyes are the window of the soul.
I guess so.
Similar to 1722.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of similarities in Proverbs. A lot of them. If I'm a good actor, you got to be careful though. Okay, but it does show, doesn't it? It does show the inward part of it. Okay? 14.
Well,
yes, ma'am.
It does say that if you get up and wash your face and put oil on your hair and you comb your hair and everything, not to go around with the gloom and doom. It doesn't mean that your spirit needs lifting. It's just that it doesn't do any good to go around. You don't have to go around with a smile on your face all the time, but it doesn't do your own spirit any good if you just walk in gloom and doom.
Yes.
That you look for things to be happy about. You look for things to be thankful about. You look for things to be glad in, so as to help overcome the sorrow and the sadness.
And what is that? In any situation you're in, you look for the silver, don't you? Okay. It's always best to do it because you can learn from any situation you're in. Okay. And you don't know if it will apply in the future to you or to others. But it's good to look at it.
But it's okay to show others that you have a need, or that you're sad, or that there is a sorrow in your life. And that way, you know, because the Lord can help you, but others can help you also.
That's right. Okay. 15:14. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. Well, that's pretty true. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge. A wise seeks more, don't they? Okay? But the mouth of the fool feeds on folly. Feeds and mouth. Okay, interesting two word choices, isn't it? Okay? Fools enjoy hearing and believing all kinds of nonsense, don't they? I think they revel in that sort of thing. So, that's enough for that, I guess. Any other comment?
Well, 9:6 says that the Lord said to forsake folly and proceed in the way of understanding. You know, stop all this foolishness. Stop just, you know, looking out and following after things that are foolish. And, you know, go after ways of understanding.
I think we've seen somewhere, too, that fools like this sort of thing, to go after these things like this. It just gives a pleasure.
It's like constant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where they get their nourishment from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's almost a will, a purpose in life, isn't it? To feed on folly and foolishness. All right. 15. All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. If you look at this in the matter of time, all the days, time, of the afflicted are bad or evil. How does time pass when you're in a bad situation or you're afflicted?
Slowly.
It seems to be slow, doesn't it? Okay? But a cheerful heart is continual feast, or what continual, as opposed to time. A cheerful heart, mid-time, I guess, moves faster somewhat, doesn't it? Okay? In other words, if you look back over, this is not our January 1 thing, but if you look back over, you know, the last year, what things do you remember? What things pop in first sometimes? Is it the joys or is it the sorrows? See? Okay? I remember sometimes we used to bark Jonathan.
I think it depends on if you're a half full kind of a glass half full kind of a person or a glass half empty is what you're going to remember first.
And if you've been continually giving thanks through the year too for good situations, that those things you remember. Okay? I was going to say, Jonathan remembered things that, you know, whether he went to a hospital or did this or something, you kind of remember those things. It's more, this is year, this happened, this is the year. Okay?
if you're happy, even if bad things happen from time to time, you tend to gloss over those things.
That's normal. That's just, yeah.
Yeah, you know, think about if your normal demeanor is contentedness or happiness. I don't mean deliriously happy, but just contented, really. You don't think about the bad things so much.
If we have a bad thing and it solves one way or another, it comes to fruition and it fixes itself or wellness or whatever it is, we thank God for that, don't we? Why not thanking God for just a good day? See, it just in and of itself. Sure,
well,
today.
We should.
Yes,
know, I mean,
yes.
Every day that we get to wake up is a good day.
And that gives to a cheerful heart and a, you know, a joyful heart and a merry heart, that kind of thing. Okay. And that others see that. Now, coming up in the next two, 16 and 17, you see a better than. I hope your versions are better than in both of those. So it's kind of a degree thing coming up. In 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. I'm going to read a little into that. Better is a little treasure with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. All right. See what's happening. Can you have what's fear of the Lord?
Knowledge.
Reverence, knowledge, recognition. The source is not me only. You know, all that sort of thing, isn't it? Okay? So better is a little treasure than great treasure and turmoil with it. Turmoil is what kind of?
Contention.
Just things going on that aren't just kind of great on the person. So it's great treasure. If you get a great treasure gained by fraud, let's say, or with dishonesty, Does turmoil come with that? Because you're rolling in those circles, aren't you? Always looking over your shoulder. If you, I don't know if this is true. The key part here is with the fear of the Lord. You don't see that in the second part. So a great treasure, have a great treasure without reverence for God and the willingness to serve others and help others will bring turmoil. Will bring turmoil. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I personally think that not that great wealth is a wonderful thing.
That's right.
Everybody would like to have it, but I think with it comes more temptation. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because you didn't know how many cousins and uncles and friends you had, did you?
Right. Okay. But you just have the means to do things that when you don't have the money, you tend to stay away from it.
That's right. That's right.
Bye.
Okay. Now, like I said, that great treasure with the fear of the Lord is a good thing, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I think that's the key part here in contrasting these two situations.
We can learn good lessons from 1 Timothy 6:6, where it talks about how to use your riches and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I also see in Proverbs here in chapter 1, verse 33, talking about the fear of the Lord is one who listens. He who listens to me shall live securely. But he and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. You know, we're talking here about turmoil. There is just something always churning. Whether it's anger, whether it's strife, whether it's fear of getting caught doing something, you know, whatever scenario you want because of unwise decisions. Problems in the family. I mean, you know, just whatever. There's always this dread, this turmoil, this underlying,
Well, it's almost a distrust at everyone you win, in a sense, okay? Or trying to preserve what you have.
Right.
Okay. Not to again say that it's bad or wrong. It's just you got to get your mind right and have
sometimes
good. We talk about good counselors. Good counselors is good on this situation, too.
Sometimes when you go by houses and you see a really pretty house, you think, oh, their life must be so great. They may be fighting. They may be have the most horrible problems. And you see a little, bitty, quaint house, and you don't really think much of it, but they may be extremely happy.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. You know, I think the coupling here is 17 also, Doug. You probably, you know, will mention that. It's love and hate. It's the two forces that drive both of them, whether it's loving the Lord and listening to Him, or hating or loving one another and hating one another.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's coupled here, you know, because it's talking about the great treasure of just your vegetables, you know. And
sometimes a situation may be the best way to live, maybe. Okay. Just depends. 17. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fatted ox served with hatred. That'd be a dish of vegetables, no meat on the table, you know, it's an humble situation. Okay, still being fed, but it's an humble situation and a fatted ox served with hatred. Where love is, okay? Love of family, love of God, okay, all this sort of thing, because if you're in a situation, when does hatred come up? See, okay? And this is identical, you know, more or less to 16, what we just said. All right? But one who has little treasure may have a dish of vegetables. One with great treasure may have a fatted ox. But this turmoil and hatred and distrust, all this thing can come with it. All right? Let's see. Yes? That's it? Okay. There was a guy I noticed on the internet this morning. He was a rich guy from Australia, and he and his wife, you know, have the places in Switzerland and Australia and gliders and airplanes and all this sort of thing. And he was touring. He was touring some other countries. You know, you kind of tour the country, you know, tour the world. And he noticed others, you know, that's from that poverty angle and all that sort of thing. But he said, he said, I'm, and with his wife too, and he said, you know, I'm not spending the time I should have with my family and my wife and the things that are important. So he's throwing away all that, not throwing it away, but he's put it all away, giving it all away to a trust, you know, that just does those kind of things with it. Okay, benevolent things, serving others. So he's 47. All right, it's interesting. Okay. But sometimes you can come to that, but it's not too late in life. All right.
We have a guy that at work, he's a genius. He's so smart, it's scary. He's the head of our gene sequencing center. And he's got, they've got all, they get, he gets all kinds of grants, millions of dollars in grants all the time. They've got money rolling in the center. And he's got all kinds of ideas of what to do and how things should progress, and divorced his wife last year.
No, yeah, that's right, isn't it?
So look, it's just...
Well, look at Hollywood, same yes. idea. Mm-hmm. Very well. Okay. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, is it quantity time or quality time? Both, should be.
It has to be both.
and once you... it's interesting, and Sandy and I made a. It wasn't really a transition. It was good, you know. Years ago, when I retired, it's 24/7 now, and I guess Linda and Wally made it.
Okay. We have a thing on the refrigerator that Boyd and Linda gave us. I like everything about retirement. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What I like about retirement is everything.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So it's interesting, and. Anyway, let's hear that. 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Okay? This hot-tempered man stirs up strife. What's strife? Anger, wrath, ill feelings, fights, whatever it is there. Okay? But the slow to anger does not start a dispute or calms a dispute. Interesting, isn't it?
Mine says pacifies contention.
Okay, pacify. So there's contention that was there, wasn't there? Okay? So this slow to anger. If you're in that situation and things seem to be out of control, hot temper and all that sort of thing, and ill feel, all that things going on, what kind of demeanor would you have to deal with this dispute? Outward demeanor.
Calm.
Should be calm, shouldn't we? Talk about that. Okay? Because the more you elevate your voice, people tend to respond in like manner, don't they? Okay? And then you mix into with that wise words. So these are a great combination. You know, 1-2 punch here. All right? So it's that sort of thing when you're in a dispute. Don't intensify it. So our response to a situation can influence a situation for good or for bad, can it? Okay, so we watch it. All right, that's 18, 15, 18.
He started the chapter in verse 1, a gentle answer turns away your mm-hmm. and so forth. And mm-hmm. the second verse talks about your wisdom.
Yes, yes.
So he started his chapter, and he hasn't really left the subject.
No, not exactly, not exactly. We do a lot of things in Proverbs dealing with the tongue, don't we? Mm-hmm. How you use the tongue, okay? All right, and what it leads to. All right, 15, 19. The way of the lazy is as a hedge of thorns, but the path and way of the upright is a highway. Okay, back to the lazy. The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns, and the path of the upright is a highway. Okay, what's a hedge of thorns?
It's a rough road.
It's a rough road, isn't it? Okay. It's, say, miserable, rough,
yeah.
Okay. Could it be a sign of neglect too? Maybe. Okay, you don't keep things. The way of the lazy is it's a miserable kind of life. It's got problems because they bring on themselves, don't they? Because they don't finish what they started to do. But the path of the upright is a highway. What's a highway?
Easy driving.
Smooth.
Open, smooth. I'd say unobstructed. As yeah. thorns would be, okay? And that's a nice general statement in Proverbs, okay? So I don't want to be lazy. It says upright here. It didn't say industrious, did it? Path of the industrious is the highway. What's upright?
Righteous.
Acting right.
And seeks to do right.
Right, responsible person.
This says righteous.
Yeah.
Mine says honest.
Okay. See those sort of things in it, okay? So that's how you do things, all right?
Which is interesting because that doesn't really contrast. It's not really a contrast to lazy in my mind. Like what you said, industrious.
It didn't say industrious. So that's interesting. Okay.
All right.
Well, all the times that they talk about lazy, or not maybe not all the times, but a lot of time when they talk about lazy in Proverbs, they're talking about the person that doesn't seek after knowledge or righteousness.
Foolish.
If you know ahead of time by wise counsel, do you want to pick the lazy route, finish what you're going to do, or pick the upright path? If you know ahead of time, through wisdom, a path is one that goes to have obstructions in it and problems and sorrows and all that kind of thing. And the other path is going to be a better path, a much better path.
Well, that goes back to heeding the wise counsel, too.
Yes.
You can get that wise counsel and you can seek the wise counsel, but if you don't, he didn't follow through with it.
That's right. So, we know it nice and do things ahead of time. 20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. We're back to the same idea, don't we? Wise and foolish contrasted against parents. Despises mother, looks down on her, contempt, scorn, all those sort of things. So, parents have a role, don't they? Okay?
And you write for respect.
Yes. That's right.
People do not teach their children to respect them and demand it. Mom and dad should demand respect. It's owed to them.
It's not a choice.
Right.
It's a wage.
It's not a gift. It's owed because that's what the Lord says is owed to them.
Yeah, you can disagree, but be respectful. So,
that's true.
That's right, at any age. Okay. 21. Folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. Folly is joy to him who lacks sense. So this fool, whatever it is, they like folly, don't they? That's just what they like. Okay? But he lacks harder sense. Some of them may put him maybe that. He likes him putting himself first and pleasure first, but a man of understanding walks straight. What's the idea of walking straight?
Focus.
He knows where he's going.
Okay.
Knowledge to know
that's right. There's a goal in there. Okay? Wisdom's giving him a goal. Wise counsel's giving him a goal. And why should you go left or right on that? Right? Why should you? If that goal is a perfect goal, a good goal. All right? See? Okay. And understand, man of understanding, he understands what he wants. He can send his way. 22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. We've been talking about counselors, consultation, and before. This plans are frustrated. I guess the idea, let's just take financial planning of a sense. If you just kind of flow with whatever today's newspaper says to invest in or whatever, what can happen to you? You're going to have frustration, aren't you? Man, I thought that was good. Nope, that's not good. Tomorrow changes. Life is so uncertain. Okay? So you get counsel. But with many counselors, they succeed. A general idea is you seek people who have been down that path through experience, or people wise, know what's wise. See, there's a good outcome in that. Nice general statement. Okay?
Yeah, but not just general counsel.
Yes, that's right.
Psalms 1 talks about not walking in counsel of the wicked.
Yes.
So you have to choose your counsel wisely.
That's right. Experienced and wise counsel. Okay? And know where their base is. All right? Let's see. 23. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. These are both good. Okay? You can have joy now, where we saw the people, fools, they have joy and folly. But here a man has joined an apt answer, a fitting answer, an answer that fits the situation, isn't it? An appropriate answer. How can you have joy in that?
It's nice if you can, if you feel like you can help someone.
That's right. You've got this feeling of accomplishment that you've helped someone. Stay on the highway.
See?
Okay? And how delightful is a timely word. Timely. See?
Just in time.
Well, just in time. Yeah, okay. Don't delay. Okay. All right. If you see someone that needs some help, well, I'll get around to it in a week or two when I have time. You may have a busy schedule, who knows? But do you put it off, put it off, put it off? Say, okay. So, how delightful is a timely word? Right words at the right time without delay. All right?
Paul deals with that in Ephesians 4:29, and he deals with the good and the bad. He says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, so you can tear down at the same time. Mm-hmm. But only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear.
That's right, isn't it? That's right. Don't say something else. All right? I can't bring it back up. All right, 24. The path of life leads upward for the wise, that he may keep away from Sheol below. Sheol's the grave. This can have interesting meaning here. Life and Sheol, the grave. The path of life leads upward for the wise. Now, what's your first thought when you say upward?
I think of eternal heaven.
Okay.
Eternal life.
Okay. Could be heaven. Plus side of life. Those things.
Away from evil.
Yes, okay.
16:6 talks about the way. One keeps one away from the way of evil.
And keeping away from Sheol below. Okay? Grave. It may be, you know, Sheol, sometimes called the grave, death, those things. If you keep away of things that get you to the grave, certainly you wouldn't associate people with violence. So that may get you to the grave quicker. All right. So upward for the wise. 25. The Lord will tear down the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. Interesting part here. The Lord will tear down the house of the proud. Is that pretty clean? Okay. He's going to not support it. Don't have it where it fails. In the end, everything, you know, is not going to be right when you have that house of the proud. That means proud to the idea of great arrogance and great pridefulness. I'm the one. All right? But he will establish the boundary of the widow.
Well, it's clearly that the widow usually needs help. Okay? She's without support. She's probably without money.
A widow is in a almost a poor situation, let's say.
Yeah, and
okay.
The proud aren't.
And the boundary of the widow, apparently, when you own land, there was a problem in people moving the stakes for land. All right? So you basically take away, because they're a widow and don't have access to what, you know, help, let's say, okay, that they're going to be in worse shape because of dishonesty. All of a sudden, they lose their land. Or, you don't live here. You know, we've seen some of that. You know, in boundary states, things in the South after the Civil War, things were moved.
Okay. I don't know that I would say a widow is poor, but in need.
In need. That's, I kind of said that too a while ago.
In need, it may not be in need of money,
yeah,
but in need of assistance or.
It's not versus protection.
Yeah,
but
because I know widows who aren't poor.
Yeah, so the point
they do need help.
The point is, this Lord, the Lord in the big sense on 25, is not going to support those who are arrogant and proud and self-centered and all that sort of thing.
Right, the ones that won't
and he
ask
is going to support. Okay, don't you worry about it. One way or another, he's going to support those who are in need or
right,
whatever,
and
okay,
ask for help.
Or being dishonestly dealt with or whatever it is. Okay. And that's confidence in it. That's trust in the Lord. It's persevere what you're doing down the right path.
don't change, you know, your direction of uprightness. Okay?
In many ways, throughout the history of the Bible, the Lord has taken care of the widow, whether sending Elijah, whether sending, getting on and the Israelites and the rulers of the Israelites for being cruel to the widows and saying this is what how they should be treated, and I'm not, you know, and I am very angry with you because you're not doing it right, and so, you know, hop to over into the New Testament, mm-hmm. where even in the church, the Lord has set the boundary for taking care of the widows indeed, and for those widows who are not widows indeed. He sets the boundary. He has justice for those widows, you know, and he has a plan for taking care of them. And so you see it throughout the entire life. That he cares about them. And that they will be taken care of if his will is done. And he's going to punish the ones who don't.
And the warning is, don't you move the boundaries.
Right.
Okay. All right. 26. Evil plans. Yeah, you got to plan to move the boundaries. Evil plans are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. Evil plans or thoughts are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. Pure thoughts are without evil in them. Okay? Another admonition to use pleasant words, isn't it? Okay? Ones that don't have evil thoughts in them, or a lot of innuendo and that kind of thing. So just a nice, pleasant proverb. Okay, 27. He who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. So, profits illicitly is a what? Bribe, probably, right? Okay? You trouble your own house. Back again, one who takes bribes threatens or troubles their own house. He who hates bribes will live. The idea of contrasting troubles in your house with not having troubles in your house. Okay?
Usually James says, he who is greedy for gain.
Okay. All right.
Troubles his own house.
That's right. No one who is not greedy for gain would generally not have troubles in their house. Okay? A more pleasant life. Say, all right. And you wouldn't have turmoil, would you? Probably. So you're less, much less turmoil anyway. All right. So stay away from bribes and illicit gains. 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. This goes back to the idea that from your heart, those who want to do right will have thoughtfulness in what they say. They'll think what they say before they say it. Okay? And if they said the wrong thing, what do? Correct it quickly, right? Okay? The mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. You know, whether it's exaggeration, lies,
hurtful things,
whatever it is. Whatever it is, okay, that's what they do. They have pleasure in it. That's their joy, isn't it? Okay? And it's to see people react to what they say. Okay? 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. We've heard that one. Okay? I got a chuckle out of that one. All right? If you're far from the wicked, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Just leave a second, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. What's hears the prayer of the righteous mean? Okay. Hears means he's open to it. Maybe the idea of God always acts on prayers. He heeds it, answers prayers, okay? Of the righteous. Say, those who are doing right in life. And so he responds. The Lord is far from the wicked, okay? Does he have an inclination to respond to the wicked?
No.
All right? Nice, good point. It deals with prayer here, okay? Which is religious acts. 30. Well, bright eyes, a cheerful look, gladdens the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. That's upbeat, isn't it? We said that a while ago somewhat with that. Bright eyes, glad in the heart. If you have a disposition that's glad and happy and cheerful, it just makes you all over feel good. And it's good news now. Puts fat on the bones. Good news from others or situation you're in or whatever it is. Puts fat on the bones. Fat on the bones, the idea of being healthy. See, something healthy. All right? Not starving. And it makes one upbeat and hopeful.
Contrasted to the rottenness of the bones.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. So, bright eyes, glad in the heart. Good news is healthy for you. You've seen studies lately that this kind of attitude helps your general overall health too, doesn't it? Okay. Okay, 31. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof, life-giving, will dwell among the wise. Well, you listen to people who give you advice to correct your life, to do what's right. And you know what? You're going to dwell among the wise, aren't you? You're going to be among the wise. You're going to... That's good, isn't it? That's a good statement. Who you're with influences who you are, isn't it? To a degree. All right? And 32, he who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires wisdom. Understanding. Either one. You neglect discipline. You neglect correction. Despises himself. You know, in the end, where you don't accept good correction, are you really kind of proving that you really don't like yourself? Yes, is what he's kind of saying. And that, you know, there's really no ending benefit to acting that way. There's nothing in the end that's going to be good for you. So you neglect this and you despise yourself. All right. He who listens to reproof acquires understanding. That's right. Okay? You respect yourself. 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. And before honor comes humility. All right now. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. We know that, right? To be wise, you fear the Lord results in instruction of wisdom because you want to acquire it, don't you? You want to live what's right. But, and before honor comes humility. Be honored for doing the right things, okay? Praise for it, recognition, those sort of things, okay? But is that born out of what? Humility, isn't it? Being humble towards others. What did the Lord do when He washed their feet? Okay, the great King, the one promised of all time, the one all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything, see? So...
Is it possible that even the honor here is understanding and wisdom? You know, it's talking about he acquires the understanding. Mm-hmm. You have to humble yourself and say, I want, in fear of the Lord, I want to gain that. I will listen. Those who do not have humility, who are proud in their own heart, will not listen to reprove or discipline or wisdom. But the honor, you know, it's the understanding and the wisdom that comes from the
military. That's kind of like the idea, you know, of repenting before salvation, isn't it? Okay?
Yeah, when the honor comes after the
Yeah, see? All right, the idea of repentance is saying, I'm not the only source. Okay? There's something greater, greater purpose for me. All right? And I bend my will. See, repentance. All right? Yes. Okay. All right. I'm going to call it quits. And we'll be at lesson 6 next time. Think about verses you like in these 13, 14, 15. We can go over those. Thank you very, very much.